We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, Understanding Christian Liberty, and helps you discover how Paul's teachings on idol-sacrificed food offer guidance for handling modern-day gray areas. Now, here's today's program.
You always, 100% of the time, have the freedom to honor the Lord by helping other believers grow in Christ. I mean, that's the whole point of this teaching. The whole point of this teaching is that we would take what we know from God so that we would best honor Him and best help other people grow in Christ. So if I have a love for God and love for other people and I want to best glorify Him, then my decision should be this. Lord, in this specific, at this time, in this situation, I believe this best honors you and helps the people that I'm around grow the most in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are our parameters to our Christian liberties. That's what it looks like. And notice how Paul spells that out. In verse 7, after he got done telling us there are no idols, there's no gods behind those idols, here's what he says. However, not all men have this knowledge. In other words, there were some believers in Corinth who had come out of pagan backgrounds who still did not understand because they were brand new to the faith that these idols that the food was being sacrificed to were really nothing at all. They had the understanding that those idols were real and they were trying to get away from them. And Paul was saying, that's what they believed. He said, you as church people may understand that the idol's nothing, but not everybody understood that. So what does he say? But some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But God will not commend us, but food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor are we the better if we do eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Notice what he says. He says, listen, we know, we have knowledge. We know that there are no idols. Because what were the people thinking? Here's what some of the people were thinking. Hey, if this food is sacrificed to an idol, like what if like a demon from the idol jumps in the meat and I eat the meat? Am I gonna be polluted by that demon in the meat? And Paul's saying, hey, listen, as Christians, we know. There's no demon jumping in the meat. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. It's just meat. And if the meat was sacrificed to an idol and you get invited to their house, probably not a big deal that you eat it, okay? If you buy food in the marketplace and it was sacrificed to an idol, it's not a big deal that you eat it. But not everybody knows this because they're young in their faith and they have a weak conscience. And so when they eat it, they're still believing that they're eating something and doing something wrong. Do you realize that when God gave us His Holy Spirit inside of you, that it's more than just your conscience, it's the Holy Spirit inside of you teaching you what you can and cannot do? I mean, that's what He's talking about here. He's saying, listen, as a mature believer, if you eat the meat, it doesn't make you more spiritual. It doesn't prove that you're more godly because you can eat the meat that was sacrificed to an idol. And if you choose not to eat it, it doesn't make you any less spiritual. I mean, the food doesn't mean anything. The rule that, because people are looking for the rule. What's the rule? Do we eat it or not? We want to know. He's like, it doesn't matter whether you eat it or not. That's not the point of this. What's he go on to say? He says, take care that your liberty does not become a stumbling block to the weak. You say, well, what would that be? It means that a young believer would trip over something and because of their conscience, they would do something that for them would go against God, that for you is okay. Notice what he says. For if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Here's what he's saying. If you have knowledge, like I do, Paul says, that eating the meat means nothing and that it's okay, but a younger believer one who's weaker in his conscience, one who doesn't realize there's nothing wrong with it, happens to go by, watches you in an idol's temple, eating food sacrificed to idols, and they say, well, Paul can do that, then I guess I can do it too. But in their conscience, they know that when they eat it, they don't feel right about it. It feels sinful to them. Here's what Paul says. You ruin that person. You sear their conscience. And guess what? Here's what he says. And by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it was weak, you sin against Christ. So here's what he's saying. In your Christian liberty, where you would have the right to eat the meat sacrificed to idols, if by eating the meat sacrificed to idols, you cause one of your brothers or sisters in Christ who's weaker in their own conscience to participate the way you do, and it sears their conscience, guess what Jesus says? Double sin. You sin against your brother and you sin against Christ. Because your knowledge of your Christian liberty caused them to be ruined in their conscience. Now, how's that play out? Let me tell you how it plays out. It plays out like this. The more mature you are in your faith and the more you grow in your faith, here's what you'll learn. You have a lot more liberty than you thought you did. That there's a lot more freedom in Christ to do a lot of things that you probably growing up said, no, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. As you grow in your faith, you realize, oh, sure, I can. But as you grow in your faith and as you grow in your Christian liberty, there may be times where you have liberty to do something, where you choose not to do something because by actually participating in it, you would cause a weaker brother or sister to stumble. And so even though you have liberty to do it, you're choosing not to do it because you want to benefit the body of Christ and build others up. Amen. So the question becomes this for you libertarians, I can do whatever I want. When is it that God speaks to you about something he tells you not to do? Is it right or wrong to have cable television in your house? Hey, I don't know. What's God tell you? See, the problem is when our Christian liberty, God speaks to us about our Christian liberty and says, for you, that's not good, but for somebody else, it may be okay. We get bothered by that. Well, God, how come they don't have to do that? How come they don't have to say no to that? How come I can't do that, right? Here's the thing, as you grow in your faith, you're gonna grow in your Christian liberty. I have a right to do this. Man, I'm not bound by this thing anymore, but because of my love for Christ, I'm thinking about my love for God and my love for other people and how I glorify him by building others up. So there's gonna be some things that I personally have liberty to do, I'm gonna choose not to do because I wanna see other people built up in the body of Christ. Does that make sense? And so it's not about legalism and it's not about libertarianism. It's about how do I allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in my life to the glory of Jesus Christ by building other people up. And what happens is we want to know the rule. I mean, a lot of people probably listen to this message that would have been read in Corinth and like, just get to the point. Can we eat the meat or not? Right? And Paul's saying, I'm not answering whether you can eat the meat or not. I just answered it for you. If you're honoring the Lord and you're loving him and you're loving others and you're glorifying Christ, then do what is best for building up the body of Christ. Why? Because all the teaching that God gives us happens in community. It's not just about you and Jesus. That's not how we make disciples. It's about me and Jesus for the purpose of the people that I'm trying to build up. And let me tell you something else. Notice what Paul says at the end of this. He says, therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. In other words, Paul says, well, it's fine for me to eat meat and I have totally liberty to eat meat. And I have all knowledge that Jesus says, if I eat the meat, it's not a big deal. If eating the meat would cause one of my brothers or sisters in Christ to have their conscience seared and wouldn't help them grow in Christ, I'll become a vegetarian. Now that's a big statement. But he's talking about a specific time. See, what we wanna know is, okay, so I'm gonna make this rule then that all the time in every place, I'm gonna act a certain way. And that's just not how it works with the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you study the Apostle Paul, you'll say, man, he's kind of bipolar because sometimes he acts like that and he's saying he'll never eat meat again. But if you read in Galatians 2, what did he do? When he went to Galatia, Peter, who had been a Jew, who was told by God to arise, Peter, kill and eat, who was called against his own conscience to eat meat.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Understanding Christian Liberty, from the series Stronger, revealing how Paul's teachings on idol-sacrificed food offer guidance for handling modern-day gray areas. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, We want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
To eat meat? And Peter's like, I can't do that. He says, you need to do that. And now was having fellowship with Gentiles, and it was all going really well until what happened? A bunch of Jews showed up. And guess what Peter did? He stopped eating with the Gentiles. And he even dragged Barnabas along in that. And Paul said, I opposed him to their face. Because what they were doing was they were having fellowship with Gentiles, but because of pressure from the Jews that were saying, oh, you can't do that, then they stopped doing it because of the legalistic Jews. And Paul said it was wrong. Eat the meat. Here's the point. In any given situation, at any given time, God can instruct you differently in that moment. That's what it means to listen to the Holy Spirit of God and not make a mandated rule. Can you drink alcohol? Hey, the Bible doesn't say that you can't. There's nowhere in the Bible that says don't drink alcohol. The Bible's clear on drunkenness. Don't get drunk. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you can't drink alcohol. So how do I make my informed decision? Is my informed decision about a love for Christ and a love for one another? Can I do it to the glory of God? Can I drink it to the glory of God in a way that builds other people up? If the answer is yes, go ahead. If the answer is no, not. I'll give you an example. A number of years ago, I was in the Czech Republic visiting a missionary friend of mine. First thing we did when we got off the plane, we went to a restaurant. Everybody orders a beer. Do you know why? Because in that culture, beer is the drink that everybody drinks. Now, they only had one, but in that culture, everybody, based upon their city, right, that was their beer. Every city had their own beer, and they took a lot of pride in it. As a matter of fact, when I went to the school, the grade school, which in post-communist Czech Republic, I was able to preach the fullness of the gospel there, which is crazy. Kids asked me, first question out of the chute, ask the American anything. You know what the first question was? What's your favorite beer? You know why they were asking? Because they wanted to know whether dad worked, did I take pride in what their dad did for a living? And that was their question. So there was one day where I was in Czech Republic and I was by myself all day, and the neighbors above knew my missionary friend was gone, and Czech language is very hard to learn. It's up there with Mandarin, so it's hard to even say hello or goodbye or do anything. And I got a knock on the door and I opened it up, and it was two of the middle school kids that were there, and they look at me like, eat, eat. Like, do you want to come up and eat? And I said, sure. So I followed them upstairs. And we couldn't really even talk. We were trying to play games and just kind of hang out. And the one kid comes back after coming to the kitchen, and he's like, egg, egg, like egg. Great, we'll eat the egg. About 10 minutes later, I was ushered into the kitchen. They had already eaten. And I was presented with this kind of omelet thing that had pickles and ketchup and all sorts of stuff on it. And I was looking at it, and they were so cheerful in bringing me that, right? And then I was sitting next to their three-year-old and thinking, okay, I got to stomach this egg. I got to eat the whole thing, and I got to do it with great delight. To add insult to injury, they went over to the shelf, got a warm beer off, opened it up, poured one in my glass, and poured one in the three-year-old's glass and said, enjoy. What were they doing? They were extending Christ-like hospitality. They were non-believers showing me what it meant to feel loved in another country. And so you know what I did? I ate the worst omelet of my life with warm beer, and it was awful, with a huge smile on my face and incredible gratitude. And I believe that that glorified God and that extended love, and it was the right thing. Amen. But do you know, when I got back to the United States, I was working with an agency about getting ordained in ministry who had a policy that you can never drink under any circumstances, no matter what. And I shared that story with them. And you know what their response was from the president of that organization? Here's what he said to me. He's like, well, if you took Jesus more seriously than you're drinking, perhaps God could use you someday. What's that called? Legalism. So when you're ready to get serious about Jesus, come back. And I said, I know everything I need to know about your organization. Thank you very much. Right? See, that's what happens. We want to make rules for everything and every time, and then we have everybody believe the same rules we believe. And we're uncomfortable if people don't believe the rules that we believe. Can we celebrate Halloween? Is that real or not? I mean, every time I'm on the radio talking about Halloween, I get more letters than anything. People will write me and say, do you not realize that's a demon holiday? It's totally pagan. It's celebrating the dead. It's releasing demon spirits. It's totally wrong. My response is, in my liberty, hey, listen, for my kids and my family, it ain't about demons. It's about one word, candy. And it's about meeting my neighbors, and it's about giving things away, and it's about being social, and it's about being Christians that can engage with other people and not leaving my neighborhood because I'm so hyper-spiritual, I got to go to church on that night. That's not what I do. But if you have a belief in your heart that says, I can't celebrate Halloween, here's what I would say to you. Then don't celebrate it, but don't make it a mandate for everybody else. And if you have the liberty to celebrate Halloween, then celebrate it to the glory of God, but don't expect everybody else to have to celebrate it to the glory of God. And see, what happens in church is we want to make mandates for every single person to do everything the same. And it just doesn't work like that. So I thought I'd use a visual aid today because in case you're not getting my point, I thought I'd bring something on the platform that you probably haven't seen in a church service before. Thought this would be helpful to us. You ever seen one of these things before? This is a Coors Light can. Been talking about our local economy. Like, we all have knowledge about this, right? It's a beer that has alcohol in it. Right? We all have knowledge about this, that if you're not 21 years old, it's illegal, so you can't have it. We all have knowledge about this, that if you're over 21 years old, you can. We all have knowledge that we have complete liberty in Christ to drink to the glory of God if it would be honoring to him. We all have that knowledge. So what do I do? I mean, you libertarians, I know what you're thinking right now. I mean, Jeff, Pastor Jeff, you chug that beer, I'll bring all my friends next week. Right? That's what you're thinking. Because we have freedom in Christ to drink, and it's no big deal. And Pastor, if you'll do that, man, I'll know I'm free, and this is my church. Let me tell you something else about this bottle. See, there's some people here where this bottle doesn't represent a celebration or glory of God. Here's what this bottle represents to them. A parent that drank this and beat them. A parent that drank this and abused them. A situation where they were shamed because of what this bottle cost. There's some sitting here that have abused what's inside of this that would say, if you open that up and drink it, I am out of here so fast because I don't feel comfortable here anymore. And so for the sake of the weaker brother whose conscience can't do this, I never drink this. See, this is why in our church, while you have the liberty to drink alcohol to the glory of God, if that's what you would do, for the sake of the body of Christ, when it comes to leading small groups and doing other things, we say, hey, don't serve it at your small group. Because if for one person that came, they felt uncomfortable about experiencing Christ in your group, it would be wrong. And I want to let you know as your pastor that while I have the liberty to open this up and drink it, I wouldn't open it up and drink it. You know why? Because I care about you too much. Now, this was more for an emotive response. I just want to tell you, there's water in here, just so you know. I was going to drink it, and then but do you get the point? Do you feel the emotions coming out in your heart? Do you feel it on both sides? Do you see why it's not about what's in the can? It's about what we feel, and then we want everybody to agree with us. See, that's not the whole point. The point is not, hey, go out and do whatever you want. The point is you can never do this. Here's the point. The point is in any given moment, you have the freedom to honor God and love others. The point is in any given moment, you have the opportunity to glorify Jesus Christ for the purpose of building up other people in the body of Christ. And we don't legislate rules that Jesus never put there. And we don't tell people you can't just because of somebody else, right? I mean, when I went to Dallas Seminary and I've been in seminary, I mean, you sign a covenant that says you will not drink for the glory of God. So I signed it, you know? And then at Dallas Seminary, when I was there, they made a little change in the rule because men and women were getting married and they wanted to toast champagne at their wedding. And they were coming and saying, if we toast champagne, are we getting kicked out of the school? And so they made a clause in there. They said, no drinking of alcohol except for celebratory purposes. So although I didn't get married when I was at Dallas Seminary, I may or may not have celebrated a couple times. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we try to legislate things that are good for the whole, but we do it for the glory of God. It's not a mandate. You are free in Christ to honor him and serve him any way the Lord would have you honor and serve him. I mean, I was at a school this week where kids were reciting creeds, like the Apostles' Creed or scriptures, long scriptures that they did as a class. I was invited by a couple parents to come see their kids. And the first group went was one of our 10-year-old kids, and she got up there with her class and recited the scripture. And I was getting fired up on the inside because I love God's word being proclaimed. I love it when it's memorized in the heart. I love it when it's passionate. And they're doing all this. And at the end, I was ready to go, like, you know, start cheering, and nobody clapped. And I looked at the dad who goes to our church. He's like, yeah, they don't do that here because they don't want to rob God of his glory. I was like, okay. Well, when you go home tonight, clap really, really loud and really, really hard and tell them that's from Pastor Jeff. Right? I mean, that's what it's about. And we all have differences of opinion, and it doesn't make our opinion right. What is right is every time we love God and love others. When I was a youth pastor in Dallas, I'll tell you a couple different stories. Our youth group was designed to bring kids to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it was designed for. And so everything we did was to bring unchurched kids into our church. And what started happening as our youth group grew, there was this group of students that stood outside our church and they would smoke cigarettes before they came in. And so me, other our leaders, we go out and hang out with them. You know, they extinguish their cigarette and then they come into youth group, many of whom got saved and are walking with Jesus to this day. But I had one mother that was really upset with that. And she sat down with me and she said, that's against the law. If you're under 18, you can't smoke. It's against the law. And you're promoting something that goes against Christ. I said, I'm not promoting anything. She was so mad with me, she went to our pastor. I told her pastor, I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You're in charge. He said, no, I want to see you reach people for Christ. And so we sat down and she kept going after this thing. It's against the law. It's against the law. You shouldn't allow them in your youth group. And I said, well, if it's not too much to tell you, I remember a month ago, your daughter got a speeding ticket and we still let her come to our youth group. And that was against the law. And that didn't go over very well. But But the point was, she ended up leaving our church and many people came to Jesus Christ, because my problem with them was not that they smoked cigarettes. My problem with them was that they had a sin condition and they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christe. And I wanted to share the love of God with them because I believed once they got the Holy Spirit in their heart, they would live differently. Do you see the difference? And I remember this church was part of a denomination where I had to go every year to get credentialed and do all that stuff. And it was one of those, like, don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, don't watch movies, don't do all this stuff. And I was being interviewed by them and they're like, hey, can you sign off on this? And I'm like, no, I can't. I'm like, and the guy ran the biggest church in the denomination. I'm like, you're telling me there's not one person in your church that watches movies? He's like, well, no, that's not it. He goes, but we're careful about what we look at. I'm like, well, that's scriptural. I said, but not watching movies is not scriptural. And I said, you can't dance? I said, did you know at our youth group we had a dance and that many people came to Christ? One of the girls that came to Christ at our dance that we did in our youth group married a guy who became a pastor, and they're both serving the Lord together right now. I mean, do you see where all this stuff goes? And when we try to legislate what's right and wrong based upon our personal preferences and experiences, we shut off the work of the Spirit. And when we do it in church and we say, yes, I can, or no, I can't, and you better agree with me on everything, we miss the entire point. The point of this message is not that we all agree on everything. What we're agreeing on as a church is that we want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in everything, serve him and glorify him with our whole hearts, and make decisions that build people to the glory of God. And if we'll agree on that, we may all act differently at different times in different places, all for the glory of God, celebrating who he is and who the Lord Jesus Christ is in our life. And that's what this message is about. So if you're a libertarian, there may be times God tells you in your life, yeah, you have freedom to do that. It's not a big deal for you. And it's no big deal, but I'm just asking you not to do that at this time or for this period of time or forever or whatever. And that's what God says. And if you're a legalist, let me just tell you something. There's more to life than just making up a bunch of man-made rules. Because it doesn't help anybody. All it does is quench the Spirit of God in their life. And what do we want to be? We want to be a church filled with the Spirit of God, with a group of people that love God, with a group of people that are liberated to serve God, that are not wondering, hey, what's everybody else think? And I'll tell you this, libertarians, for some of you that are like, well, I'm totally free, I can do whatever I want. Some of the most legalistic people are libertarians when it comes to pastors. I can do whatever I want, but pastor, you better not. I can do whatever I want, but you know, I hope that my church workers don't do that. I mean, we set up different standards for different people. There's the same standard for everybody. It's glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do for the purpose of building other people up. Amen? God wants you built up. If you're choosing not to do something, choose not to do something for the glory of God. If you're choosing to do something, do it for the glory of God. And oh, by the way, in this process that we do, we may make some mistakes sometimes. And then what do? We ask for forgiveness and we give each other grace and we continue glorifying God as we move forward. Amen. That's our church. That's what God's church needs to be. People that are completely freed up to serve His glorious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Understanding Your Christian Liberty, from the series Stronger, revealing how Paul's teachings on idol-sacrificed food offer guidance for handling modern-day gray areas. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to BravePastorJeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.